Holy Father, we stand before you in awe of who you are, what you've done, and the price of your Son. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. We ask for your forgiveness. Have mercy upon us and let your grace abound. And I pray tonight, Father, as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come in this place, as you wash us with the blood and purge us with your presence, that every hardened heart will be broke. That everyone that in this room that is resistant to giving their all to you will be changed in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that conviction, revelation, impartation, healing, and deliverance would be manifested. I pray, Father, in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, that a thirst and a hunger will come, knowing that we cannot do it without you. And a greater love, Lord, restore your first love to your people. And some people haven't even reached the first love yet. But I pray tonight, Lord, I pray tonight that the first love will be reached and that you would be glorified in these temples in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go give somebody a Holy Ghost hug. Tell them this is your night to die. How's everybody? Hallelujah. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Nothing worse than a straight Christian. Bible says be drunk with the Spirit. Be drunk with the Spirit. If you've never been drunk with the Spirit, let me tell you something, you need to. That's where you go after God with all of your heart. See, there is a place where you are saved, and then there's a place where you are born again. And in that place where you are born again, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Too many people think just because they're saved, they're born again. Well, let me tell you, that's incorrect. There is a place of being where you are born again. That's why God created the tabernacle. The outer court is a place where you are saved. The holy place is where you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and you become a priest, where you learn to minister to the Lord, and that's where you are born again. And then you maintain that so that you can go into the most holy place and learn how to live there and you become a warrior. Is everybody okay? Good. That's what we strive for. See, but it starts with worship. See, you may worship because you have to worship. You may worship intellectually, but you'll get to where it's no longer you that worship, but your spirit that worships. Because the Father is searching those who will worship him in truth and in spirit. That's where you become a third dimensional warrior. That's where the devil is afraid of you. But see, people can fall from the born-again state to the saved state and go right out and lose it all. But I'm telling you, you got to maintain it. You got to fight like you've never fought before. You must fight for the presence of God. And I'm telling you, when you fight, see, when you touch his heart, he touches yours. And everything changes. Everything changes. God is not looking for religiosity. He's looking for those who are willing to walk in the Spirit and become like-minded and like-hearted with him. It's not how much theology you can memorize. He's looking for those who will be like-minded so his image can be expressed through you. See, and that is established when the fear of God, the reverence of God, when your heart, when your spirit is constantly honoring and hallowing unto him. Does everybody get it? That's what David, see, David reached that place also, King David. Why? Because he said he always saw the Lord before him. See, no matter what you do, you know God is before you. So you don't do the things. You don't touch unclean things. Listen, if you're still touching unclean things, the fear of God is not there. When you're a carnal Christian, until you're willing to let go of everything and trust God in everything, are you listening? If you're still touching unclean things, something ain't right. Come on, man. I'm telling you right now, people of God, servants of the Most High, it's time to come out of the world. It's time to come out of the secularism so that you can constantly overcome. The Bible says that we are more than conquerors. It's amazing, and only about a quarter of the body of Christ is conquering. Other than that, the other three quarters is getting conquered. And they're getting conquered by religiosity, oppression, entanglements in affairs of the world, addiction, perversion, and everything else. And all the other garbage Because they open doors, they don't understand the fullness of what an accursed item is. It's amazing. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he says, if you reject that knowledge I'm giving you, you won't fulfill priesthood. That's the second chamber. And he says, because you forget the law and that which I've given you, I'm going to forget your children. So you want to get right and watch your children? You know, what we do as adults, we have children out there. What you do is going to affect your children. Don't blame your children for what they're doing. Blame yourself for what they're doing. It isn't them, it's you. When you get in line, they'll get in line. If you got open doors, they're going right to them. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Go ahead, lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. You're going to need it. Quit playing religion. It's time to get real. Whew, man. There's a sweet anointing up here. I'm shaking. Whew, hallelujah. Go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Phyllis, we welcome Phyllis here tonight. In overflow. Phyllis in overflow. Glory to God. And Matthew 5 and verse 17, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Don't mind me, I'm just a drunk in the spirit. Thank you, Papa. Thank you for putting up with me. Hallelujah. Would you all read it with me? Verse 17. Do not think that I came to what? Destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. Fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. This is powerful. This is very, very powerful. In other words, Christ came to fulfill the law, that which was ordained in the old covenant, to bring in a new covenant. And by bringing in a new covenant, things were going to begin to change. That's why he had to pay the price for me and you. You know, the blood that was shed on the cross was the blood of God, not the blood of a man. God had to produce his own blood that could be pure, untainted, sanctified and holy, not contaminated. The blood that was shed on the cross was God's blood for me and you. And through that, the blood always goes before the Spirit. So with the blood, he says, when he got with his disciples, he said, take this cup. It's going to be the cup of the new covenant. It would be the blood of the new covenant. So everything was being washed away so that a new could come in. But you got to understand something. He said he came to fulfill it, not remove it. So many people think that, well, it's been removed. No, it's been fulfilled. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're under the law. And the Bible tells us that no one can really fulfill the law. Only Jesus. See, so the law is maintained in fulfillment when you are walking in the Spirit. When you are walking in the flesh, you are under the law. And you will be judged by the law, not by the Spirit. Let's go a little further. So we see that Jesus came to fulfill the old covenant, the law, to bring in the new covenant, which is a representation of the ministry of the Spirit. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. In verse 19, blessed be the name of the Lord, and all that is within us, bless his holy name. Can we read this together, please? What purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promises was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of the mediator. Who is the mediator? Jesus. Now listen, the mediator of the old covenant was Moses. The mediator of the new covenant is Jesus. Is everybody with me? Okay, come on. Now, a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, the word believe means to follow. To those who what? Follow. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our what? Tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. In other words, you are under a tutor. You are brought from the tutor to the mentor. Everyone say, I come from the tutor. Now I'm under the mentor. In verse 26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you are baptized in Christ. Now that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? You understand that? Have put on Christ, which the word Christ means anointed one and his anointing. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we see that the law represented the tutor, and we were brought from the law, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and given the mentor. In other words, the anointing releases the mentor into our lives with a new covenant. Now, the mentor is the helper. Are you with me? The mentor is the helper. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Christ now that lives in you when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Go to John 16. So we've come from the tutor to the mentor. See, because the mentor is now the helper. He is the keeper. He's the one that's going to help you maintain covenant. John 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Who's the helper? The Holy Spirit, or known as the Spirit of Christ now for me and you. And when he has come, he will what? Convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You got to remember, Jesus was speaking to them before they got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So they could not comprehend a lot of the things that Jesus was saying. That's all they could do was nod their head and hope they got it later. Hallelujah. In verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. So the helper, he helps us from breaking covenant. Do you understand that? How does he help us from breaking covenant? By conviction, by judgment, by truth, and by righteousness. He attempts all the time to help us from breaking covenant. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. God is one. Are you listening? In other words, we are to overcome covenant-breaking influence. We are to what? Overcome covenant-breaking influence. How many of y'all know that the devil wants to influence you to break covenant? That's his job. Why? Because then the devil can actually go out to kill you. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, doesn't he? Go to Ephesians 6. Do you understand the importance of being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit? He's the Spirit of Christ. He is the Holy Spirit. The helper will guide you. He is there to help me and you from breaking covenant with God. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the what? Whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil or the trickeries, or because he's going to try and deceive you. Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So he's going to try to deceive you, snare you, so that you can come in agreement with him to break covenant with God. That's what he's looking for. See, especially after you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, because see, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, now you're going to be able to walk in both realms. The scales are removed. If you're truly being led by the Spirit, you're going to be seeing things, hearing things. You're going to have dreams and visions. Your life has totally changed. You're no longer walking in the flesh. You're no longer struggling with just intellectual things. You're not trying to fight the devil with intellectual memorization. You are fighting him in the Spirit, and the word that comes out is backed up by the anointing. And when you are baptized in the Holy Ghost and you are able to walk in both realms, the devil is afraid of you. So he's going to do everything he can because he knows you are armed and dangerous. See, this is why it's not about religion. But see, after you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you still have to maintain that born-again state, don't you? This is not religion. This is about eternal kingdom business. This is not just about going to church. Hello? This is not about church. It's about a living organism. We are all members of a specific body than an eternal body. Believe me, you won't look the same when you go home. Thank God. Aren't you blessed? You can look at each other and say, man, you ain't going to look the same when you go home. Hallelujah. So when you look yourself in the mirror, you know, hallelujah. But if you see somebody wink at you, you better cast that thing out, right? And verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Those are military ranking arenas that the powers of darkness have established in their kingdom. I'm not going to get all into this, but I'm sharing with you that there is a ranking military arena. They have an order. Demons are disembodied spirits, principalities, and territorial spirits cover the area of cities and nations and countries. It says, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. So we see that we are to stay dressed with the full armor of God to overcome covenant-breaking influence from demonic sources. It's military rankings. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. You know, the devil got King David to break covenant. And because he was the king, he not only suffered, but his people suffered. Many died. Many. And in this, in fact, he got David to break covenant more than once, and he had to reap. In fact, when he broke covenant one time and fornicated, the baby died when he fell with Bathsheba. He ended up murdering he didn't murder, but he had his right-hand man hit. He had him killed out there, who was Bathsheba's husband. A curse came down on the family line. Everyone fell into fornication. And the one thing that the Lord said to David is because your blood, you got innocent blood on your hands, you cannot build my house. And your sword will never rest. David ended up in battle all the days until he was could no longer function because of his age. And he couldn't build the house of God. So he had to pass it on to his son. But his son built the house of God, but still carried the curse of fornication, adultery, lust. He ended up marrying all these women that were associated with foreign gods and brought more garbage down. But praise God, one rose from the dead and changed everything. He died for it all. And his name is Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, would you read it with me? For though we walk in the flesh in the natural, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, which are memory lies, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we see these influences of your thoughts are to break covenant with God. These are generated by the voice of evil spirits and demonic forces. That's why the Bible says when you get dressed with the full armor of God, one of the armor is called the shield of faith to quench every fiery dart. That's the voice of the devil. So there is an influence constantly shooting at you. They don't give up. They don't stop. There have been demonic forces that have been assigned to you before you were born. They waited. Are you listening? Because see, they saw mama get conceived. See, these spirits have access down the family lines until it's finally broke. Did you ever hear somebody say, you know, this person got all messed up once the mother or father or somebody died in a family? And they think that the person's mourning, but they constantly mourn, 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 and mourn. The reason why that person is constantly mourn, 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 and mourn, because the demons that were in that one that died went into the person that's still alive. Because they have legal access down the family line until it is broken, severed. In other words, you are what you've inherited, right? Hosea 4:6. You forget my law, forget your children. Goes down the family line. See, but one thing happens is when you begin to break these things off of your life and you begin to walk in the Spirit, you'll be able to sense, be sensitive. You'll be able to see because the helper, the mentor, the Spirit of Christ, he's going to tell you, he's going to guide you, he's going to show you, he's going to protect you as long as you're willing to cooperate with him, the influence that's trying to cause you to break covenant with God. Did you ever make a vow and break it? Well, you bring a curse on yourself. Did you ever say something to someone and not do it? You bring a curse on yourself. A vow, are you understanding? A vow doesn't just get erased. There's always a reaping of it. Even when you repent, you reap from it. Are you listening? It's amazing because, you know, the Spirit, the helper, is trying to protect an individual from breaking a vow or a covenant. But the voice of the stranger is more influential. If the voice of the devil is more influential to you than the voice of God, it's because you're not filled with the Spirit enough. Because if you're really filled with the Spirit, you'll say no. Are you listening? You can't help but obey because the reverence and the fear of God is so strong on you. You can't help it. That's where the Bible says, commit to me your works and I'll establish your thoughts. Acknowledge me in your ways and I'll establish your steps. See, that's why the Lord must be always in front of you. Always in front of you. Always in front of you. David said he's at my right-hand side too. See, the moment you lose vision of the Lord, you better be careful. Because there'll be another image that will come up. And it'll be lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Is everybody okay? Why? What's the devil trying to do? Cause you to what? Break covenant. Let me share something. When you're breaking covenant, pulls you out of rank in the military. Let's go a little further, okay? Galatians 5. You know, we've been talking in the last few gatherings about overcoming. Overcoming. We must be overcomers. Galatians 5:16. I'm sure some of you are going, man, Lord, forgive me of all those things. Hey, I'll be there at 10. Okay, cool. Never show up. You just brought a curse on yourself. Do you understand this? The devil is a legalist. He's looking for every area he can cause you to break covenant or access to you. Yeah, man, I promise I'm going to do this. No problem. I'll be there. Right. Person doesn't show up. Curse. It's called a self-imposed curse. That's why you and I, every night, you must repent for every vow that you didn't fulfill. And you must kill every corruptible seed that's been imparted in you by the devil. And loose yourself from every self-imposed curse. Temporary curse, inherited curse. It doesn't mean you're not going to reap. You're going to still reap something. Has everybody got it? But the blood is going to stop how much you reap. See, that's why the Bible says submit to God and resist the devil. If you're submitting to God, you can resist the devil. If you're submitting to the devil, you obviously can't resist him, can you? But see, how long it takes, that's a measuring tool. How much you're going to reap. Submit to God, resist the devil. Okay? When you choose to submit to God and resist the devil, however long it takes you, is that how much you're going to reap? Man, you're tearing me up. It ain't me. It's the Holy Spirit. He's convicting. He's judging. Don't judge me. You're already judged. We were already judged. We were found guilty. Hello. Verse 16, I say then what? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another. So you do not do the things that you wish or that you've been influenced by. But you got to do what? Walk in the Spirit. Hey, look, you can pray in tongues and worship God and still not be in the Spirit. You can have a form of religiosity and do all kinds of stuff and still not be in the Spirit. You can be associated with another one. Let's go a little further. But if you are what? Led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Remember, the law is a representation of old covenant and the tutor. You are now under the mentor. In other words, if you are led by the Spirit, you're under the mentor, right? So you're either under the mentor or under the tutor. Or under a demon. Now verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry. Sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, anything similar to it. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, that those who what? Practice. I'm telling you, practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice. Remember, the tutor is a representation of law. We are come from the tutor to the mentor. Walking in the Spirit. If you're not walking in the Spirit, you're under the law. In other words, you're under the judgment of God. And the reason why an individual is not walking in the Spirit is because he's been deceived. Amen? Because of influence coming out of walking in the Spirit. And then there's no power to overcome until they get back in the Spirit. And what usually happens is they break covenant. That's usually the fruit or the outcome of it. They break covenant. In Revelation 12, because only being in the Spirit and obeying the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, can you prevent from breaking covenant with God? In Revelation 12, in verse 7, and of course we saw some of the acts that would let you know that you broke covenant with God, and it said adultery, fornication, and so forth. Those are the acts of broken covenant. Drunkenness, that's broken covenant. Anyone who practices such things. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, when you come in agreement with the voice or the influence of the devil, you become a slave to him. You know, you think about addiction. Addiction is associated with the spirit of bondage. It's bondage. And the slaves, Israelites that were in slavery in Egypt, were in bondage for 400 years, weren't they? They were in bondage. In fact, some of them, when they left, they cried so hard to leave the bondage that they found out that walking in right with God was a little bit difficult. And they weren't getting what they wanted. They became grumblers and complainers. Of course, God killed them all. Praise God. And only two of them made it to the promised land out of millions. But they were grumblers and complainers. The Lord even sent quail to them, you know. I mean, come on. Delivered Kentucky Fried Chicken right to them. You know, hey, listen, they didn't even have to buy shoes. Their shoes grew with them supernaturally. And that's all Moses, when they needed a drink, just hit a rock, you know, and water come out. I mean, they saw supernatural things the whole time, but yet they still grumbled and complained, and some of them wanted to go back to bondage because of the influence of the voice of the stranger, thinking it's okay. So anything, you know, food can become bondage to an individual. Cigarettes can become bondage to an individual. Let me tell you, if you're still smoking, you're using. It replaces cocaine. Cigarettes is using. And it's amazing how many people, believers, just, it's not going to prevent me from getting in heaven. Well, no one said it's going to prevent you from getting in heaven, but the demons you're allowing in can prevent you from getting to heaven. And what kind of witness is it? How can you say you're free when you're still bound and you're still using? Then there's people who drink 6 pots of coffee a day. You know, no matter where they stop, I got to have a coffee. You're addicted still. That's called using. People got to drink Coca-Cola. You kidding? I got to have a Coca-Cola when I get up in the morning, man. You're still coking it, man. Coke in the morning, Coke in the afternoon, Coke this, Coke that. Come on out, Coke. Come on, I use this stuff to clean rust off my bumpers and battery terminals. And then the lie of Diet Coke. I mean, people think, oh, there's no calories in it. Praise God. No, they just swept off the chemical lab and put it in the drink and said, there's sugar now. It's a preservative. Some people who are going to die are going to look beautiful. There's so much preservative in them. Did you ever notice dye it? There's a word in there called D-I-E. And it ain't dying to yourself. It's out to kill you. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? And war broke out where? In heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Now listen, here we are. Here's a military, isn't it? Michael's the archangel. He's the chief prince. A third of the angels that are warriors that are under him. So him and his angels were fighting, and they were fighting the dragon. This is military, isn't it? These are territorial areas. He said in heaven, war broke out in heaven. War broke out in the spirit realm. And there's war going on in the spirit realm. Whatever you see going on in the natural realm, what's going on in the spirit realm? And if it's going around in that country, it's because there's war going on in the spirit realm in that country, territorial spirits. But people who are not praying enough are being overtaken in those territorials. Is everybody with me? You know, right now the body of Christ is doing a lot of complaining instead of not enough praying. But God is fulfilling his will regardless. In verse 18, but they did not prevail, nor was there a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we see that there is a military of darkness that is cast out of the spirit realm. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and the strength of the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ, has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him by the what? The blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives unto death. So we see that there's a ranking of military. And it says that they overcame him by the blood. That's by repentance activates the blood. And the testimony of the word by the anointing. The word spoken backed by the anointing. And it says that they didn't love their lives to death. In other words, they were no longer fighting for their life. They were fighting for the life of Christ in their life. They weren't fighting for their life. They were fighting for the life of Christ. Is everybody okay? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. My hope is that you will be aware, more sensitive of the influence of these demonic forces and the voice of these evil spirits that are trying to cause you to break covenant with God. And it could be in the simplest way. In the simplest way. Remember, the devil is looking for any loophole. Just by saying you're going to do something and don't, they'll open the devil to you. Does everybody get it? Think about how many times you said you were going to do something and didn't do it. And you wonder why you struggled. You wonder why the things that you had were being taken now. You wonder why all of this stuff was breaking down on you. And this and that and whatever. And you just, man, you know, I just don't get it. Why aren't, you know, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, Lord. No, you're not repenting. You're not watching what's coming out of your mouth. When you say you're going to do something, you better. Or you better repent quickly. That's why Paul said, don't make any commitments, man. Say if the Lord wills. So for a long period of time, my wife would say, what do you want for dinner? I said, if the Lord wills. Are you going to be home for dinner? If the Lord wills. Come on, I need to make some plans. If the Lord wills. First Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. If the Lord wills. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, not yours. Casting your care upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In other words, he's seeking whom he can devour. Why? By causing you to break covenant. Now, the scripture also talks about pride. See, pride goes before a fall, or pride goes before a broken covenant. See, a fall is always broken covenant. So pride goes before a fall. It's a broken covenant. But, you know, the Lord is getting us to a place so we can try and work these things. That's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is there to help us if you're really listening. That's why it's important to be filled with the Spirit and baptized in the Spirit. He's trying to help us from breaking covenant. But so many times we just ignore him. We just turn away. We think that just because what we've done sometimes, there should be a reward. Because you do something for God. Never look for rewards. Don't look to be exalted. You know, the best thing that you can do is know that you please God in whatever you're doing. That's all. You know, so many people get upset. Well, I haven't been recognized. What do you mean every devil in hell knows about you? You're recognized. Does everybody understand that? Let your recognition come from the hand of God and not through anyone else or anything else. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of the anointing or of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine or influenced by demonic activity, by the trickery of men or demons, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now, what I just mentioned here are rankings of God's kingdom. These are individuals that are in offices. Does everybody understand it? These are rankings. But there's more than just what's mentioned here. There's more. In fact, one of the rankings that's not mentioned here is a priest, which is automatically understood. It's a place. It's a position, isn't it? And we're all to fulfill our priesthood, aren't we? Now, what about intercessors? These are rankings of God's military. Intercessors are undercover agents. God's there's a lot of undercover agents for God out there. There are people who are on the streets, living in cardboard boxes, that are servants of the Lord. The marketplace warriors, you know, like attorneys and stuff like that. They're priests. And then there's another place that's not mentioned. And I want to call it the rank of covenant. Because it's a place where an individual is a covenant keeper. It's a ranking in the body of Christ. See, God knows that person who is hired is totally to keep covenant. It is a ranking. And a priest and a covenant keeper are the two things that you and I must keep. These are ranks that you and I must keep in the body of Christ. It's filling our priest and priesthood and maintaining covenant. These two ranks. I want to call it the rank of covenant in the body of Christ. It's something that's not mentioned, but it talks about those who break covenant, doesn't it? So those who keep covenant, there is a place, it's a ranking, and I want to call that the rank of covenant in the body of Christ. Are you with me? And the Holy Spirit has been given to me and you, the Spirit of Christ, to help us maintain that rank as a covenant keeper in everything that we do. Now, keepers of the covenant are ranked by loyalty and achievement. An achievement, and what I'm talking about is to overcome, not by theology. They have proven loyalty, character, maturity, and faithfulness. They have proven loyalty, character, maturity, and faithfulness, and responsible. They are responsible. This ranking is not determined by gifts, by gifting, or memorization, or fleshly achievements, but spiritual maturity and visualization. And I'll repeat this. I know some of you are kind of looking at me funny here. In other words, they have proven loyalty for this ranking. I'm talking about between you and God. They have proven loyalty, character, and maturity. They are faithful and responsible. Is everybody with me? This ranking is not achieved by gifting, memorization, or fleshly achievements. It's not determined by gifting, memorization, or fleshly achievements, but spiritual maturity and visualization. They are totally dedicated to their king and to his authority he has placed in his officers. They are faithful to the covenant and obedient to the commands of God. Their motive is pure to help and not for selfish gain. And their fellowship is based on covenant, not emotion. This rank is a place that all true believers should have a desire to achieve. I'll go over it one more time quickly. This ranking is not determined by gifting, memorization, or fleshly achievements, but spiritual maturity and visualization. They are totally dedicated to their king and their authority that he's placed in his officers and positions. They are faithful to the covenant, obedient to the commands. Their motive is pure to help and not for selfish gain. Their fellowship is based on covenant, not emotion. This is a rank that all true believers should have a desire to achieve. Everybody okay? Romans 16. Rank of covenant. That's where the Bible says, allow God to exalt you and promote you, not you. The Bible tells us that many will come before him and say, Lord, I cast out a devil. I moved in the gift of the Spirit. I did all of these things. I raised the dead and I did this. And the Lord's going to say, nice. But you practice lawlessness. Well, depart from me. I don't know you. Ooh. Verse 17. 16:17. Would you read it with me? Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. In other words, even the devil's going to try to use brothers or sisters, hello, to influence you to do something wrong or to break covenant. They cause divisions and offenses. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all. See, your obedience or disobedience will be known to all. Therefore, I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So we're to stay away from people that cause you to agree with breaking covenant. It will pull you out of rank. Hebrews 3. Hebrews chapter 3. In verse 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we've become partakers of Christ, meaning the anointing, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, oh yes, if you will hear his voice and reject the voice of the stranger, and do not harden your heart as in rebellion. If you will what? Hear his voice. For who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned and whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest but those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter because of what? Unbelief. Because of what? Unbelief. See, the influence of the enemy will cause you to get to a place of unbelief. That means you are getting ready to break covenant. Are you listening? Go to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 20. For the creation was subjected to what? Fertility, not willing, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the what? First fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption of the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you're called according to his purpose, you know, and you love God, even when you break covenant, you can get back in line and all things can work to the good. Are you listening? Okay. Now there are 8 rewards, and the number 8 means new beginning. Are those who are overcoming the influence and maintaining covenant. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In verse 7. Would you read it with me? And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to him who overcomes, I will what? Give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God's garden. Does everybody hear that? So what are you going to do? You're going to be able to eat of the tree of life, because what you eat is what you are. Go to verse 11. He who what overcomes? And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And he who overcomes shall not be what? Hurt by the second death. These are rewards of overcoming. Go to 2:17. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. Ooh, that's from God's kitchen. And I'll give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. So he will give you a new name, and he will give you hidden manna, hidden treasures. Now, do we need that when we go home? No, we need it now. Are you listening? We need it now. Are there things when we get home? Yes, but do you need it now? Do you need hidden manna now? Some of us need a name change. Some of you are still out there not even walking according to the name that was been given to you. You still walking by a nickname? You're in bondage. It needs to be broke. Are you listening? I had a lot of nicknames out there. I'm not going to mention any. But I had plenty. And when the Lord revealed to me, I had to sever every emotional attachment and break every nickname that's been off of over my life. You know, some people use their middle name, you know, and so forth. But you want to make sure that it's God that's telling you, because that name has been given to you. But you want to make sure that God is telling you, because sometimes he's giving you a new name. And there's nothing wrong with it. But you want to sever all the old of the nicknames that we used to carry. Is everybody okay? Go to verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed into pieces like the potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoa. Jackpot. These are rewards. Rewards that you will receive now, and rewards that you will receive later. Go to Revelation 3:5. And he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. So if you're not overcoming, you're being overcome. And if you're being overcome, guess what happens? You break covenant with God, and your name gets removed from the book of life. And you do not go to heaven. See, everybody's name is written in the book of life until they die. Once your last breath goes up, then it's determined where you go. That's why children go home. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has a ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoa. In verse 12. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? And he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Now, the new Jerusalem that will come down from heaven is when all the heavens and the earth will burn up. And there will be a new earth, because the earth that we have right now cannot hold Jerusalem that's coming. Obviously, we're going to get a new earth. It's going to have to be a little bit bigger, I believe, to hold the new Jerusalem that's in heaven. So we know that reward will come when after the 1,000-year reign. Go to verse 21. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Hallelujah. We all get to sit on Dad's lap. As I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Is everybody okay? Are you seeing this? Now go to chapter 21 and verse 7. Oh, yeah. Let's start at verse 5. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. And he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I'll be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. I want to close in Ephesians chapter 5. Now the Bible says that, you know, God has called us. In other words, you were invited and he's chosen, and there's the faithful. And in this, you know, by being an overcomer, a covenant keeper, being led by the Spirit, maintaining to be filled with the Spirit, in this we are able to overcome. You must allow God to reward you and not reward yourself. Never think that you've earned anything, no matter what. Immediately, as soon as you think you earned something, pride comes. Does everybody understand that? No matter what you've done. That's why the Bible says to lend and never ask for it back. And it's not that if somebody's made an agreement with you, they should give it back. Amen? And, of course, you want to remind them, because they're breaking covenant then if they don't give it back. But what is hard is saying, never think that you have earned a reward of anything. God is the one who's a reward. He says, what you do in secret, he will openly what? Reward you. Is everybody okay? And in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, let's read it. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. That's your job. But if you're deceived, is it easy to be exposed? No. Somebody else is going to have to do it for you. And that's where you can't be offended by the correction of the Lord. For it is a shame, it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine, which is in dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear or the reverence of God. Remember, the enemy is out to cause you, to influence you, to break covenant with the Lord. But you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of Christ who's to help you to maintain covenant by conviction. You know, the moment you lie, the moment you lie to cover up something you've done, you have just wasted everything away. That's covenant breaking. Are you listening? That's covenant breaking when you got a lie like that. In other words, I'm not saying you don't make a mistake. There's an area where somebody may say something to protect themselves. Oh, man, no, sorry, no, and they'll correct it. Forgive me. Lord, forgive me. But when you are protecting a lie, you are breaking covenant with God. Does everybody get that? And you will open yourself up. The longer you wait, the more you reap. The Bible just said, and all liars will have their part of the lake of fire. See, because the spirit of lying protects self. That's why you want to be honest in every area of your life. Honest in every area of your life. Why? Because by being honest, light has access to expose. Don't hide anything. If you're hiding something, you're lying about something. Is everybody okay? And I'm telling you what, then the enemy is going to, well, and then that's pride and so forth, and then the enemy is going to try to get you to break covenant and go even deeper. Because pride comes before a fall. We are at a critical time right now. God really wants to move big time. He wants his children in unity, like-minded, like-hearted, in every area. Accept your responsibilities when you blow it. Don't put it on somebody else or blame anybody else because you're justifying in lying. Accept your responsibilities of what you've done. And let God deal with you. Let God deal with you. Take it. Repent and don't go back. Go forward. Kill your past and continue to go. All things are possible to those who follow. It's amazing how people think, well, I just believe it. No, it's follow, man. All things are possible to those who follow. And God wants to bring us to another level because there's some more devil we got to kick. There's going to be unleashed more demonic forces, stronger. That's why he pours out his spirit to prepare us for the next battle. That's why he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There is a rank of covenant. Maintain that rank. And all of heaven will be behind you. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We are honored and blessed. We ask you for your forgiveness in any area where there has been covenant breaking in our life. In any way. And we ask, Father, that you'd wash us in those areas with the blood of the Lamb. We accept our responsibility, and we thank you, Lord, that you absorb most of the reaping. But whatever you want to chasten us and teach us through this reaping, Lord, we thank you that all things will work to the good and that you will be glorified in our life because we love you and we know we are called with a purpose. We thank you. Now, Lord, I pray a blessing over each and every one here that's here tonight. And that you would visit them in a mighty way and sever every entanglement. that your light and conviction would penetrate even the hardest of hearts, and that honesty would be established in their life, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hallelujah.